The scripture reading for this evening is from the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Joshua 20, beginning in verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up unto his hand, but because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, in Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Text for this evening is Joshua chapter 20, especially the first three verses. And with it, this section, we'll also read a brief section from Hebrews chapter 6. So Joshua 20, the first three verses. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And then Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews 6. Particularly verse 18, the second part, but I'll start reading in verse 17. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, here we might have a strong consolation. And then those words, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Initially, I had not intended to preach on this chapter of Joshua tonight. But when we had been covering the first number of chapters in Joshua, and I looked at the next section with all the details of the inheritance for Israel, and I thought maybe I could compress it into one sermon. If I do, that's still waiting. But I thought for New Year's Eve, this passage of John 20 about the cities of refuge would be fitting. If you have Spurgeon's morning and evening, his daily devotional, I can't tell you exactly on what page it is, but I think it's in March. But if you look in the index under Joshua 20, he has a beautiful page which, in a sense, summarizes my sermon, you might say, although I'll read part of it in my sermon. But it's a very fitting focus of what really the cities of refuge are all about. That's what we'll take up this evening with the help of the Lord. And then tomorrow in the morning we'll go to chapter 23, considering 21 and 22 part of all those chapters about the inheritance. And then tomorrow evening, the Lord willing, we'll take up chapter 24 in a measure. Beloved congregation, we have come together this evening, last evening of this year, to come before the face of God and to meet Him. And our final word this evening must be from Him and for Him. Indeed, especially in connection with the special occasion of this evening. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this evening we shall hear who He will be for His people, who He is, our refuge, our only refuge. In this passage we read, and you can read about the cities of refuge in the book of Numbers as well, I believe it's chapter 35. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 21, I believe, and there are other references about the city of refuge. And if you put it all together, then you realize that not only were they appointed, but once a year, the elders of God's people, of Israel, they went along the roads leading to the cities of refuge in order to see if they needed any repair, if there were any hindrances that had to be removed, especially after the heavy rain in winter season. And if parts had to be repaired, then they would see to it that those parts would be repaired, so that in case of someone who needed to flee to one of the cities of refuge would find on those roads nothing that would be a hindrance to them. And so this evening we will hear about not merely the roads too, but also about the cities of refuge themselves. But it all together centers around that there was not to be anything in the way for a person who had killed someone unintentionally could flee and find refuge there. And you could say that actually the task of the elders in the church is also to check whether the roads to the cities of refuge, if you understand that concept biblically, that there would be no hindrance anywhere on those roads. Just to make sure that the ministers would not, for instance, like Pharisees, put burdens on the congregation too heavy to be borne. Or through the preaching would leave or place all kinds of obstacles in the way that would delay the coming of a sinner to Christ. And this is how Spurgeon put it in that brief meditation, and I have a little part from it. He writes, "How graciously do the promises of the gospel remove stumbling blocks from the way. Wherever there were byroads and turnings, there were fixed up handposts with this inscription upon them, to the city of refuge." This is a picture of the road to Christ Jesus. It's no roundabout road of the law. It is not obeying this, that, and the other. It is a straight road, believe and live. It's a road so hard that no self-righteous man can ever tread it, but so easy that every sinner who knows himself to be a sinner may by it find his way to heaven. No sooner did the manslayer reach the outworks of the city than he was safe. It was not necessary for him to pass far within the walls, but the suburbs themselves were sufficient protection. So tonight, with the help of the Lord, we'll look at this theme of Christ, the true refuge, or the true city of refuge. And we'll consider, first of all, the earthly shadow, secondly, the true refuge, and thirdly, the only safety. So Christ, the true city of refuge, the earthly shadow, the true refuge, the only safety. And first, the earthly shadow. Let's consider for a moment the purpose of these cities of refuge. For the background, we really need to go back to Genesis chapter 9, just after the flood, when God spoke to Noah. And this is what God said to Noah. Chapter 9, verse 6 of Genesis. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." So God said, "I consider man made in my image to be so precious that if any man sheds the blood of another man, the only way that can be dealt with is by the blood shedder's blood to be shed." So if a man kills another man, then that man who did the killing, his blood has to be shed. A law for all times. Now that basic law or principle gets clarified as the Old Testament proceeds. And later, I made reference to it, Numbers chapter 35. There in the verses 16 through 21, the Lord distinguishes, you could say, between three kinds of homicide, of killing another person, the taking of the life of a person. It can be an accidental killing. It can be a culpable killing, so a blameworthy killing. And it can also be a justifiable killing. And the Lord makes clear that in the case of premeditated murder, or murdering a person in the heat of a sudden passion of anger, then capital punishment was and is to be exacted. But if a man kills another man by accident, then the man who did that killing may flee to a city of refuge. But the question is that man who killed somebody else by accident still to be killed? To be put to death? In principle, yes. If a man sheds the blood of another man, that's what he deserves. But in such a case, the Lord made a special provision in appointing 6 cities of refuge. And there, he might flee, so that the avenger of blood, that's the term, would not kill him. That was the rule. Who then was the avenger of blood? Now you have to remember, in those days they had no telephone. You could not dial 911, and the police would come and the prosecutor's office would take up the whole case. In those days, if someone had killed somebody else, then somebody from the family of the man or woman who was killed was the so-called avenger of blood. Could be a son of that person, or another blood relative, or it could be someone else who was to avenge that blood. And in this instance of an unintentional killing, he was to avenge the blood of his brother or father who had been killed unintentionally. That was the principle. But was he allowed to kill him if the man had done it by accident? Still was his duty to pursue the man who had done it. But the man who had done it could flee to a city of refuge. And the cities of refuge were to give shelter to a man who had done it by accident. And so the case would be investigated. And if they found the man was lying, but he had been premeditated, he had done it with malice, then he would also be put to death. But if they could establish that the man indeed had done it as an accident, then he could be given shelter in the nearest city of refuge. 6 cities. 3 in the north, 3 in the south, 3 in the center of Israel. 3 on the east side of the Jordan, or from your side it would be on this side, and 3 on the west side of the river Jordan. But anyone who had killed someone by accident could flee to one of those cities. And the principle was, if you read that in Deuteronomy 19 verse 2, I believe it is, you could reach such a city within a day if you fled. And I already made clear that the road to the city had to be made and had to be maintained. That was one of the stipulations. Now, these are the basic things you should keep in mind for the rest of the sermon. I'll just try to picture that something like that would happen. In our day it happens, doesn't it, when you're driving in your car and you get into an accident and it turns out to be your fault, but you didn't do it on purpose, but somebody gets killed and you did it. In those days, maybe 2 men had gone outside the city into the woods, been chopping wood, and the axe head came off the handle of one of those tools and hit the other man, and the man got killed. Try to picture what had happened. And the man who had done it, but had not done it on purpose, no, maybe the man had been his friend. He'd had a relationship of friendship and peace with that man. But now he had to flee. Couldn't even go home first and arrange certain things. And after a couple of weeks, he had to flee to the city of refuge. He knew that he had to, but he had never thought that would have ever happened to him. Never really maybe even paid attention to that rule and to that principle. And there he started running. And then there was a crossroad. There was a sign, City of Refuge. There he went. Another crossroad. Looking behind, am I being pursued by the Avenger of Blood? I didn't mean to do this at all, but I know I did it. Gets tired, maybe. Has a tendency to sit down. No, he's got to keep on running, keep on fleeing. He can't say, I'm too tired, I'm just going to sit in the bushes, behind the bushes. Hopefully he can see the man running past me, but he won't see me. No, he would be in danger. The only secure place for him would be in that city of refuge. Else he could be smitten down by the Avenger of Blood. And then again, imagine that he would get to that city. And at the entrance to that city, there would be some elders of the city who would meet with him. And he would explain what had happened. And if they had reason to believe, then they would give him permanent provisional shelter. And after some days, the case would be investigated. And if it turned out to be that indeed he had done it accidentally, then he would be given a permanent place in that city until the death of the high priest. That's a facet that I won't speak on very much tonight, if at all, because we likely will run out of. That would require almost another sermon on, for instance, Numbers chapter 20, verse 28, I believe it is. And then the man who was given a place in that city of refuge could not go home after he had been confirmed to have done it accidentally. No, he had to stay here till the death of the high priest. If he would ever leave that city, the Avenger of Blood was still allowed to kill him. You begin to see that God, in having stipulated the need for those six cities of refuge, had revealed mercy, his mercy, to escape from the penalty of the law in those cities of refuge for such manslayers. So that, first of all, let's move to our second consideration, the true refuge, not only the shadow, but the true refuge. What I have explained to you in the last few moments may give you reason to think, oh, that's how they did it in Israel. Interesting. Well, that would be the end of it for you, maybe. But the Bible does not only give us all these details to show us that in Israel there was a certain social consciousness that the Lord had stipulated. But what we have here in Joshua 20, as well as in the other passages that speak about the cities of refuge, what we have here is really a representation, a typical representation of the gospel, which the New Testament brings out more fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 18, and if I may read those words again, where the Lord speaks about persons whom the Lord calls the heirs of promise, who have fled for refuge. There you have the word, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Just think of that phrase, who have fled for refuge. That's exactly what the manslayer did in the Old Testament. Fled for refuge to the city of refuge. And Hebrews says, now, that's how there are persons who have fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they then? They are sinners. To whom are they fleeing? Or did they flee? To Christ. So Joshua 20 this evening contains the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as do the other chapters or sections of chapters that also speak about this very same subject. They contain true gospel. And then consider a number of aspects here that will help us, particularly for the focus of this last evening of this year. That the manslayer who had killed somebody accidentally or unintentionally, who is he in the light of the New Testament? He is a sinner who has been awakened, an awakened sinner. Not the sinner who is still sleeping the spiritual sleep of death, but the awakened sinner. Having been spiritually awakened, this man has radically changed. He sees his danger. And before this happened, he saw no danger. He lived a life of ease. But once awakened, he begins to flee. He knows he must flee. A natural sinner doesn't see any reason to flee, finds contentment in the things of this world and in the pleasures of sin, feels at ease, doesn't recognize the danger by which he is surrounded. But you will know it, I take it, that when the Holy Spirit, using the gospel, awakens a sinner and convicts him, awakens him from his spiritual sleep, spiritual death, and he convicts him of his sin before God and the judgment of God. He knows he's lost, undone, has been made aware of his real state and guilt before God. And there comes anguish in his soul. And then he reads his Bible, or he hears the word of God preached, the commandments of God. They hit home and he understands, I have transgressed the law of God. I have offended the law giver. And that law, when read, makes him tremble. Not only because the law accuses him, but also demands from him a full satisfaction. And he cannot make satisfaction. He has nothing with which to make satisfaction. You see what happens then? Then the law becomes the avenger of blood, who pursues him, ready to slay him. Because the law of God says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. What is he to do? How can he escape? Now, have you ever felt those accusations of the law of God? Ever seen your guilt before the holy law of God? Ever felt your lost state and condition? Ever wept because of your sin? This is a part of the Word of God, congregation, that we may not omit. The Lord, through his Word and Spirit, convicts a sinner of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Why? Because it's so needful for a sinner to understand in what terrible state he is. Man has to come to know his guilt. Remember what the Lord says in Jeremiah 3 verse 13? He says, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God." Or in Hosea 5 verse 15, the Lord says, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early." Again, I ask, ever felt the burden of your sin and guilt before God? Ever seen the avenger of blood at your heels? And you see your danger and death being next? You see, an awakened sinner is made aware of his real state, and he fears the danger that he is in. It causes him to run for his life. He dares not linger but flee. He flees for refuge. But where is he to go? And it's in such circumstances that the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes truly meaningful to a person. And maybe you know what it's like, that you say, "I've heard the gospel all my life long, many times, but I listened. I can't say that it did anything. In it seemed one ear, out the other. I heard it, I listened, but I had no personal interest in it. I had no real concern. Now things are different since that person is awakened, you see. Prior to that, just like in the Old Testament, that manslayer knew about the city of refuge and the road, or the roads to the city, the nearest city of refuge, but he never fled there. Didn't need to. And so the awakened sinner, as he now hears of the way of salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he becomes so interested in that gospel. And with your heart, you seek to understand that gospel and hear more about the city of refuge and gain a clearer understanding of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Because now you see your need. This message is so appropriate for you. Your need, as it were, makes you flee. And you're no longer satisfied with your present state. You feel the wrath of God pursuing you on account of your sins. And you know there is but one step between you and death. Therefore you are interested, so interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You seek to hear it again and again. More and more. Oh, you have other things to do. You have your daily task. And you have your family, not only to provide for, but spend time with. But as soon as you can, you'll find some time to open the scriptures. Like I remember an instance where a man who had such a busy life, it seemed. And when he came home, the children needed so much of his attention. But in the morning, he had to leave at 5 in the morning. He'd get up at 4. And he would first sit down for his devotions, read the scriptures, and then read a sermon every day, one sermon, and off to work. You look for that time to be instructed in the doctrine of salvation. And here, if there is salvation also for you, and you are no longer interested in the worldly pleasures, and especially the Lord's Day becomes your delight. You love to hear the Word of God preached. Have a personal interest in that message from the Word of God. Love to hear that there is this refuge for you in your need. Love to hear and need to hear of the grace of God that the Lord has provided for His people. And you long to hear of the Savior of sinners. Now that's one aspect. What then does that gospel say? It says that there is the city of refuge. That God the Father is the refuge of His people. And that He sent His Son to save His people. And you read in the Scriptures that that God manifests Himself as the refuge. Psalm 47, 46, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 62, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Psalm 142, I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. This God, in and through Christ, redeems His people. And that mercy is foreshadowed here in the Old Testament and represented in the cities of refuge. And then remember, God Himself appointed those six cities of refuge. And so Christ is the refuge by God's appointment. Remember that God had appointed those cities for the provision of shelter from the avenger of blood. The manslayer was pursuing the man, but he could flee there from the man, from that avenger of blood. If he couldn't flee there, he would have to die. He could not afford to delay even half a day. He had to make haste. Now, isn't that how it is with the sinner? Awakened, he must hurry to flee to Christ and find refuge in Christ, his only refuge. And there is no other name given under heaven, is there, whereby he will be saved and given refuge, but the name Jesus. And the roads to that city have been prepared. In the Old Testament, they were clearly marked, signposts showing the direction. And so the gospel proclaims it, that Christ Jesus is the only Savior. And the Word reminds us again and again, go to Him. Go to Him. He is your refuge. And just like in the Old Testament, there were six cities of refuge divided in the land, within reach for anyone in need, with easy access. He could reach it within a day. Now, is Christ not presented in the Scriptures, congregation, as being nigh, that is near, to all that call upon Him in truth? To all who are broken of heart and contrite in spirit? So all these things tell us that these cities of refuge foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the refuge for poor and lost sinners. Such lost sinners who know, who have come to know their misery, their danger in their state and condition. And then having a desire to hear of the New Testament city of refuge and fleeing to that place. As we will see in our final point, there's some application. Finally, the only safety, congregation. And the point is that it's not enough for you and me to hear of this Savior and to know about the Savior. Just like in the Old Testament, it wasn't enough for a man to know there was this nearest city of refuge for him and that there were roads leading to it. He had no refuge. If he could speak about that city and know what he could get there in that city, maybe about Hebron in the south, or Kadesh in the north, in Galilee, for instance, or Ramoth in Gilead, or whatever other city of refuge, he had to flee there, else he would still be in danger. And you know, in the church, there are many, it is to be feared, who make the mistake that merely knowing about Christ as Savior is sufficient to rescue them. But that is not so. To know of Christ as Savior is not sufficient to have Him as your Savior. I must flee to Him as my refuge. I know there is also another mistake that others make. It is to be feared. And it's this, that they know of times that they were touched in church or in a certain circumstance, and they were alarmed, and they became serious, and there was a certain diligence in their life, and they thought, now I am one of those awakened sinners. And their conscience began to accuse them. Their conscience was awakened, you could say. And they resolved to be more in the Word and more doing this and more doing that. But something happened. After a while, it was gone. At first they were serious to fight against sin. And later they returned to that sin. First they said, I need to seek the Lord in my life. And that was good. But only as far as that went. After a while, the alarm, the anguish left them. And they did not come to Christ. It is to be feared. They perhaps even began to flee. But slowed down. Sat down. Congregation, this is the last day of this year, 2011. Have you fled this year to Christ for refuge, as the only refuge, the only city of refuge? Or must it be said that you are only in the city of intellectual assent? Are you maybe only in the city of a presumed faith? Or maybe in the city of pietistic ceremonies? Or maybe somebody else in the city of good intentions? Or whatever other city it may be. My dear friend, The avenger of blood can reach you in any of those cities. There is no safety there. Or are you perhaps lingering on the way? Got tired and maybe thought, I'll sit down behind these bushes. I need a break, a rest. Maybe bushes of your own making, thinking you were still escaping, but you were delaying. What is it, my friend? What is it? Do you still need your sins? Do you still trust in your own ingenuity and self-righteousness? Stop with us. Flee to the city of refuge. Don't stop fleeing until you have reached the gate. And the gate has closed, as it were, behind you. And you find refuge in that only place of safety, Christ, the righteous one. You see, there is no refuge for anyone who deliberately goes on in his trespasses. While you sit in church and your mouth speaks a good word in the narthex about Christ, there is no salvation in Christ for those who persist in willful sin and continue to defy God. What you are doing is barring yourself from God's mercy. There is no shelter in the Holy Christ for anyone who loves sin. Only for those who flee to Him to be delivered from sin. Don't forget this. Alas, there are too many people who take it for granted that they trust in Christ. And in the meantime, they cling to their sins. For such persons, there is no room in the city of refuge. But the truly awakened sinner flees to Christ, to His blood, does not delay, because he fears the avenger of blood may come and strike him down. And he knows that if then he would die, he would not meet God, covered by the blood of Christ. Then he would perish. No, an awakened sinner flees all the way till he is with Christ and in Christ. December 31, 2011. Just past 7:15. A few more hours this year. What are you doing? Perhaps you have come to know some of your need. Some of your need to flee to the city of refuge. That's good. But now don't satisfy yourself with thinking that a mere knowledge of Christ is sufficient. This is what Spurgeon writes. Only waste no time. Loiter not by the way, for the avenger of blood is swift of foot, and it may be is at your heels at this still hour of eventide. Dear congregation, Christ Jesus is the only refuge, because in Him, in Christ Jesus, the wrath of God found its target on the cross, and He bore it to the full, and bore it away. That sinners like you and I may flee to and hide with him and be safe. And the Holy Spirit shows his merit in that sacrifice. How his propitiation avails for poor and needy sinners is the only place to hide for time and eternity. But I repeat, if you think that just a knowledge from up here is enough, you're wrong. You have to flee to him while leaving everything behind. That's what the manslayer did he not? He left his wife behind, his children behind, his house behind, his field behind, and fled to the city of refuge. For refuge. Oh, remember, God has appointed the city of refuge by giving his own Son, Jesus Christ. And God has marked out the signpost to the city of refuge, the signpost of his gospel. Remember again and again that through the word of God, we are reminded of this gospel. That city is close by, not far away, within reach, within easy access. And God is willing, the Bible says, and able to save you, however great your sins. But you are under holy obligation to flee there. Don't delay, you can't afford to delay. Don't look behind you as Lot's wife did. Give yourself no rest till you are in that city. In him alone is refuge. In him alone is plenteous redemption. In him alone is eternal salvation. Finally, you who have betaken yourself to this city of refuge, to Christ, who have fled for refuge and redemption in him. Just remember this yet, though I won't belabor it tonight. Remember that that manslayer had to stay in that city of refuge. If he left, the avenger of blood would still kill him. Only in that city was he in safety. Is that not the same with Christ? You must not only flee to Christ, you must also abide in Christ. God's people must always remember that Christ is their only security. Only if you abide in him and live closely to him, you're safe for time and eternity. And therefore, child of God, be careful. Abide in him. If you should be negligent at this point, the danger is so great again. Say it again and again. To thee, my soul, for shelter flees. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, on this final night of this year, we humbly thank thee for the message of the cities of refuge, thy provision as a type of Christ. Oh, how the whole scripture points the way to Thee, Lord Jesus, the city of refuge. O grant that we not only know the truth and meditate on the truth, but also flee to Thee. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me flee and hide myself in Thee. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to Thy cross of refuge. For Thee the curse, for me the refuge. Naked come to Thee for dress. Helpless look to Thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly for Thy own blood's sake. Dismiss us under Thy hands of refuge. Watch over us in the remaining hours and bless us as we are brought into the new year, O Lord, year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the congregation, elders, deacons, fathers, mothers, young people, children. Bring us also tomorrow to Thy house of prayer and speak afresh, O Lord, law and gospel, for Thy everlasting praise. In Jesus' name, Amen.